show every Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m., and it's called Ear Hammer. Join me.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Anarchy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
War regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelow, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. What's up? How's it going? Well, what a lovely, lovely Wednesday we've got going on here, sort of, kind of. You know, this is what would save the world. I'm here every Wednesday. So welcome. So here's what's going on. Donald Trump threw paper towels at Puerto Rican people and treated them like a detached liberal audience at a fundraiser. Tom Petty died, maybe. There was a giant shooting in Las Vegas. In both the hurricane situation in Puerto Rico and the shooting, according to the media and politicians, the people who were in positions of power were the real victims. Puerto Rico didn't pay their debts and should have done this, that, and the other thing, and the shipping industry will suffer as a result of us lifting the Jones Act for only 10 days. The U.S. is financially suffering as a result of their own imperialism, and of course, the shooter in Las Vegas was not a terrorist. He was a mentally ill guy who simply didn't get laid enough. If only the feminists didn't discourage other women from sucking his dick, then the pent-up semen wouldn't have possessed him to shoot all those people. And the poor politicians who promoted gun control, if only people had listened to them, and the poor right-wing politicians who will have to push their Second Amendment agenda even harder. Life is so hard for U.S. politicians. If only marginalized groups would just pay up, shut up, and admit that they're the only ones who are capable of being terrorists. The U.S. and the state of the world is in an excellent place, and... yeah, we're just in an excellent place. You know, if you listened to my episode last week, the Jones Act was, it was encouraging people to call their senators and their representatives to get the Jones Act lifted. And people did that. People did that. We got the, and if you don't remember what it is, or if you didn't hear my show, the Jones Act is this like thing from 1920s that only allows the United States control over which boats and what kind of shipments go into Puerto Rico. And this is really bad in the state of a hurricane because especially in a state of a hurricane in one of our, it's called an unincorporated territory or some bullshit like that. It makes them sound like business, like a business rather than people. Well, I'm assuming that's how our government views Puerto Rico as a tourist attraction rather than an actual country with actual people. But what happened is, you know, they're closer to a lot of other countries. So what it was, we had to get the Jones Act lifted so they can get some support, as much support as possible. So it's been lifted for only 10 days. And at the point one of my good friends made is it took months to clean up after Sandy. And we weren't even in the same kind of situation that Puerto Rico was in. So it's actually not going to help that much, only 10 days. I mean, it's good that we did it. Like, I'm proud of people, but it doesn't change the fact that probably a lot of the shipments coming in and the groups coming in from other countries are still going to go through United States officials. And United States officials are doing a very inefficient job from what we heard last week. Only the major cities are getting food and supplies, and even there they're not getting enough supplies. They're just getting Donald Trump throwing paper towels at them. On the subject of the fucking of Las Vegas, I wanted to say that, like, all terrorists are mentally ill. Why do we only call the white ones mentally ill? And, you know, it does a huge disservice to a lot of mentally ill people at the same time to keep propagating the idea that mentally ill people are always going to be violent. I know a lot of schizophrenics who are a lot nicer than you, who are a lot nicer than me, who are like, that's just like a fact. So we got to differentiate the two, and we have to make that very clear. And I want to know, like, some of the people we call terrorists are straight up just fed up, like, systemically, and they're marginalized, and, like, it's fucked up. Like, you know, like, But I don't know. I'm gonna stop right there while I'm ahead, because I feel like I'm gonna go into some difficult, controversial territory as if I haven't already. All right, so we got a Maria coming to the studio today. Maria of the store in New Store Place in Williamsburg, Cult 23, and we're gonna be talking about tarot spirituality cults community And about 3:15, we got a call coming in from Andrew Carbone. He is one of these like collective house activist people in New York. And we're also going to hear from an anonymous person talking a little bit about the selling of magical culture in the Bushwick area and in general. But it's a huge Bushwick thing. You know, I feel like Williamsburg sort of like sold the grunge look, and Bushwick is selling the grunge look too, but it's also selling like sort of like a bougie magic vibe. I don't really know how to describe it. All I know is that it pisses me the fuck off. And I made this analogy before. It's a lot of like burners and stuff. I'm like Burning Man people are not all awful. Like I like some Burning Man people. Like it's not about the individuals. It's about like the larger picture of it. Like, you know, you can't scoff at every single person who does some capitalist bullshit. Like, all right, like I take Uber and I hate capitalism. All right, I hate Uber. And yeah, it is all the fault of the individuals. The individuals got to change things. But there's also a larger picture there where it's like, you know, it's all about fucking money and shit. Oh, God. It's like, I don't even. Oh, God. I'm really fucking stoned. So let's not get into that. But yeah, so we are going to discuss like sort of like the appropriation of a lot of like Eastern culture and a lot of like indigenous cultures, like, and like selling it. Like it's like one thing to take on like a different kind of spirituality or something, but it's another thing to fucking sell it. All right. And that is what I do see in Bushwick. Like a lot of people like selling these oils and shit, like really overpriced. And like, and look, I understand people didn't make money, and I'm glad like witches are finding like people who are like actually witches and like in this shit, who aren't just like doing it because it's trendy or whatever, are able to like make a living as like witches and like doctors and shit. Like they're not doctors. I mean, there's a certain kind of, you know what I'm saying? They're like some people who are like witches and in touch with herbs and stuff, like really know what the fuck they're talking about. Like they know how to heal people in ways. So they're actually very necessary in terms of like with all this healthcare stuff, because like Western medicine doesn't help everything. And if you go on a shameless self-promotion, whatwouldsavetheworld.podomatic.com, you can listen to Marduk, the sun god, who was actually worked in the health industry in the military, talk to you about like yarrow and some of these herbs that can really help with like major infections. So I am glad that like witches are able to find their means of survival through selling people these things. But the way it's packaged and the way it's done is super weird. It feels super white supremacist. It feels like a bunch of like white girls from Oberlin, like fucking like selling tinctures they made and like, you know, fancy labels and shit. All right, let's play a song by Mesa Daw. She's a Palestinian musician. She's one of my favorites, honestly. This is called Live Free, and this is by her. Here you go. Freedom as a cover up.
don't use your freedom as a cover.
That was Mesa Daw. That was Live Free. She's a Palestinian musician. That's off her album Between City Walls. I think that she's absolutely fabulous. And you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm expecting a call from Andrew Carbone. We're going to be talking about a little bit about the communities movement, the intentional communities movement, the co-housing movement in Brooklyn, and probably the larger country, because if some of you probably know that I lived on a commune from age 20 to like 21 or 22. I lived there for like 2 years. I don't know how the fuck ages I was. I don't know. All I know is I lived on a commune, and it was an anarchist commune, and it was awesome, and it fucking saved my life. And so I'm thinking about, like, if you listen to the beginning of the show, I was talking a little bit about how, like, Puerto Rico, we fucking blame them for their debts. We blame them for fucking up, you know, shipping industries with the Jones Act and, like, you know, all this bullshit when you literally have people fucking starving there. And even before that, they were economically fucked because the United States didn't even allow them to vote. So it's a whole fucking piece of shit. And then, you know, this fucking, like shooter in Las Vegas, you know, he's the mentally ill white guy, you know, poor boy, poor baby. Like, it's bullshit. So, like, I just keep thinking about, like, victim blaming, and I keep thinking about how, like, what a larger picture that is, like, so present on the micro level and the macro level. That you, obviously, how I just illustrated, that's present on the macro level. And it's like a gaslighty thing, too. It's like saying, like, oh, that's a terrorist. I'm like, no, not really. He was just mentally ill, or, like, we're dying over here. The United States is taking advantage of us. No, not really. Look at all these, like, officials we're sending you. God, it's, like, bullshit. But something I realized, like, very recently is that, like, nothing influenced my life more than, like, this abusive relationship I had in my early 20s. Like, all my views and my views on, like, anti-abuse all come from knowing what it's like to be abused and what it means to be gaslit and what it means to be told that you're bad all the time or that you don't deserve a lot of, like, the basic things that other people, it seems like other people, that people deserve, like, just like some, like, love and food and, like, like a decent job, or, like, if we're not, that's, you know, that's under this kind of society. But what I'm saying is, like, people deserve their basic needs. People deserve, like, love and care and, like, family and people, like, emotionally supporting them. I believe that everybody deserves that for the most part. Like, and I think that I do believe that when you have people emotionally supporting you, that is how we prevent our society from becoming super violent. Because, like, if you're gonna read about, like, Nazis and people who are likely to get involved in these groups, like they say, or these hate groups, there's a lot of these people actually have certain undiagnosed autism, or they're undiagnosed, they're on the spectrum somewhere and they're undiagnosed. I want to touch back on that, but we just got a call from Andrew Carbone. I want to touch on that. I just want to make sure. Hold on, Andrew. Hello.
Hi,
can you hear me? Good. How are you? Okay. So I want to finish up a thought I was making, because it could sound really offensive. Or actually, you can just join in. I can tell you what I was talking about. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in. I was just talking a little bit about, like, victim blaming and, like, how becoming an activist for me was greatly influenced by being in an abusive relationship as a teenager and knowing what it feels like to be gaslit, what it feels like to be shit upon, mm-hmm. and how, like, I was saying how, like, convincing me that I didn't deserve emotional support. And I'm saying that, like, I believe that everyone deserves emotional support. And I think that emotional support is actually how we prevent a lot of violence. Like, not 100% of the time, but I was touching on the fact that a lot of people who in these like hate groups, like Nazis and stuff, it's been said that some of these people have like undiagnosed autism and they're on the spectrum. And I was trying to make the point that like, that's not saying that people who have like Asperger's are violent or whatever, but there's this idea that there's this feeling of like wanting to be drawn to like a singular ideology or something like comforting, to have like a truth that's like so like cut and dry like that for a lot right. of people who are on the spectrum. And I want, and like, I think that like not being diagnosed with that is not necessary, does not necessarily mean you didn't have enough emotional support, but it did mean that someone maybe wasn't looking out for you. And it means that maybe you didn't have the, you know, the nurture that you might have needed. And I think that that's the case for some, for a lot of people who are become violent and or become hateful. And this is not 100%. Obviously, there are some people, you can't blame the people around a person for their actions. But
right.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify that point to make sure that people didn't think I was saying people who have autism are bad, which is not what I was saying at all. But Andrew, what's up?
Oh, I'm just hanging out. I'm doing my freelance thing, and I have had a few minutes to talk. I don't know if people know who I am, but we met at Occupy Wall Street, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least we were in the same area at the same time. And I kind of make some videos, and I'm interested in maybe making a podcast. And I just really love what you do and what you post.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Speaking of which, I posted on my Twitter at Tuk Edalo, number 2 K E D A L O W. Why is our society so goddamn victim blaming? You can answer there, and I will read your answers. But
awesome.
The way I've been introducing you as someone who's in the communities movement, in the Brooklyn co-housing movement, and da 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 da. That's what I said you are.
Cool.
Would you consider yourself that?
Well, first of all, yeah. Basically, I mean, I guess I just had this idea about maybe a lot of people start to really like the idea of living in the city and the country, right? So then when some
the
people
city
get an
and
idea
what? The city and what?
And the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to make sure my service is good here, but just let me know if I'm breaking up a little bit.
I can hear you. Keep going. Keep going. I'll tell you if you need to repeat things.
Okay, cool. Thanks. I found that a lot of people that are kind of community-minded, they also want something in the city and the country. Like, a lot of people in New York City say that, right? That they want to be able to get out of the city, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so then I thought, well, what if instead of buying a property with, like, 10 people, what if we bought, like, 3 properties with 30 or 40 people? Like, one in the city, one in the country, one in the suburbs. And then just have it be, like, this free exchange where people could go where they wanted to be at the time.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
That's actually kind of like a thing already. Are you involved with the FEC at all? Federation of Egalitarian Communities?
Right. So, yeah, a little bit. I went to the communities conference.
Yeah, so that's the communes that I used to be a part of. And the way they do things is they do like a labor exchange. Like, there's some communities that are in the city. And their whole thing, though, is that they're 100% income sharing.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, then they have some in the city and they have like labor exchange. So it's like this thing where people can, they like owe each other labor and stuff. So I just want to say real quick, we just invited Marie. We just have Maria here. Just came in and I didn't want to interrupt you. Maria is my guest today. my in studio guest. Maria, can you hear?
I can't actually, but
can you hear now?
Yeah, I can't hear now.
All right, Maria, I'm on the phone with Andrew Carbone. We're talking about like the communities movement. Did you bring your tarot cards?
I did bring my tarot cards.
Oh, hell yeah. I want to do like tarot for society on
Great.
Here.
Great. I'll take
that. And I also want to talk about the corporatism of magic in Brooklyn right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we'll get on to
Great.
That. But Andrew, so you
yes.
so yeah, so I wanted, so like, what do you, so you think, so are you trying to organize this right now? How can people get involved in this kind of movement in New York?
Well, I don't know. It just seems, sometimes it just seems like the things that we do to get by are at odds with what we really want to do.
I feel that so
hard. Yeah, and that I realized about myself, this willingness to like be producing content and things like that might be kind of an indication that I'm kind of, it's something that I feel the need to control, and that maybe I should just get involved in real life rather than like produce videos about community and political stuff. So I'm kind of.
I do feel like there's a balance. I feel like you can do both, though. Like, if you're actually doing it, you can, like, document what you're doing. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do right now. Like, I bought this fucking school bus, and I want to travel around, and I want to, like, spread zines and spread, like, the message of, like, collective living, but through the bus, and, like, maybe bring stuff about communes and stuff. But then also, like, I want to, like, run into people, like, on the street and, like, invite them and do, like, podcasts with them on the bus and, like, bring communities together and things like that. So, like, I think you can create media while doing that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Maria, did you have something you wanted to say about that?
Andrew, I just liked what you said a lot, and, like, I've been dealing...
Sorry, I'm just trying to show you which mic it is. It's the mic that you're using. I just wanted to make sure you... Don't worry, keep going.
You know, I've also been feeling like a need to produce, and I make a lot of like random videos, and it's just like my thing. And I actually like find as an artist that it's vital that we do that and that we continue to inspire and produce, because there are people that are not producing anything. And as far as it being an involvement in your community, I would say then start a cult, start a group, start an event. And that way that you're furnishing not only like your own personal agenda.
So what do you think a cult is?
It's a group of people that have a like minded interest in the same thing. So that actually is what creates an interest in the group. As far as like trying to promote the event, you know, you're trying to connect with people on something that you have in common. And I would just say like it's very important that we continue to make groups and continue to support event spaces and produce for not just yourself, but for the general good of the community, artistic community in Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah.
So something right. I'm sorry. You talk, Andrew. Then I'll tackle this cult concept.
Cool, Maria. What's your perspective on like people of privilege feeling the need to produce content and things like that?
What is your opinion of what privilege is? And I can give you an example of how that person in some way or form probably is not as privileged as you might think.
Well, I guess my idea...
I want to clarify, though, there is a difference between personal privilege or, like individual privilege or, like, day-to-day life privilege and systemic. But go ahead, Andrew.
Right. That's a vital distinction, isn't it? But my understanding of, like, societal privilege is, I don't know, is it something negative in a way that, like, you actually want to kind of get rid of because it insinuates or, like, it inherently implies or, like, involves the fact that you benefit from a system that hurts other people?
I want to understand where this conversation is going.
I understand what you're saying. Okay. And, I have noticed that and I have kind of felt like, you know what, if they are doing it from that, like, perspective and they have like nothing to offer but like their own like continuing to support other privileged people and like, you know, whatever, they then I don't think that they're really gonna get, I don't know, I don't think they're just like, I don't know under what law, who has the rule to say that, you know, that this is privilege, this is not privilege, and if they will benefit or not even benefit from their actions. They might just like continue their privileged life, doing whatever that they consider is privilege. But you know what privilege is, I think, is, you know, a real good way of thinking of like privilege is the connection with your fellow man, you know. And so if they have that, that's, I'm glad for them, you know. And that's, it's a sad, lonely world, and I'd rather them do whatever it is that makes them happy than consider somebody like privileged and then like deny them the right to express themselves and form communities.
I don't think anybody's like denying privileged people the right to form their communities. I think the problem is that people who are privileged are given like a lot of priority in terms of communities, in terms of like a larger picture of community. Like, there's communities like the community that like I feel like you and I are part of, like a certain element of like artistic communities in Brooklyn, and like Andrew's part of that too to a degree. I mean, Andrew, you're a little in a different kind of community than the one I'm addressing, but there's a couple different communities, but you know, it's a larger picture. It's a, like a overlapping thing, but I'm talking about like, I grew up in like yuppie Brooklyn. You know, I grew up in Carroll Gardens where there's like a lot of people who are quite wealthy. And a big problem that happens is that when these developers move into these neighborhoods, and not necessarily the neighborhood I grew up in, probably long before I even moved in, people were pushed out. And so what I'm saying is, like, those communities who have less money or less access to, like, specifically this is happening in Bushwick right now. You know, people who don't have as much access to money and a lot of and different programs and whatever, and like are discriminated against and stuff, get pushed out in favor for communities that are wealthier, or for communities that have more, just straight up, more access to wealth. That's basically what it comes down to: more access to wealth, less likely to be fucked with by the police, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to try to tell them they shouldn't have their families and stuff. I'm going to tell them that they should be like, acknowledge their role in how it affects communities that are marginalized.
Right. One question I might want to ask you is that, you know, I really need to like research this more, but I almost want to say like, unfortunately I have privilege, or like, but that's not right either, because I don't want to like,
no, it. I like, think it's about safe, using your
safety that
I think it's about, you know, using your privilege to be able to say things that need to be said in spaces where privileged people don't want to talk about those things.
Exactly. I think that's where I wanted to then lead that to it, just allow them to do what they're doing, but then enable to act in ways that help other communities that have less opportunities.
Well, not right. Even, I also think it's important though, like I feel like there is also this element of like people who have like a lot of privilege going into spaces and like say, like being like, look, I'm the more educated, like, you know, liberal arts educated white person, let me tell all these people what I think they should be doing. I think of it in like the opposite way. Do you know what I mean? Like privileged people going into privileged spaces and speaking out against like the ways that people are being complicit in white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I think about. But in terms of privilege being bad, I don't know. Like I'm also just like kind of like, you know, I'm kind of like a little bit of a commie, so it's like I don't actually believe that anyone should have more than another person, but like I have to be really careful because I can't really be militant about that, because I don't really want to force anybody to like drop their stuff, even though like I do fantasize about it, you know, like I fantasize about like, hey, rich person, like you have to give up all these acres because there's a ton of home, and I know, look at your vacation house you never use and there's people homeless in that area, you should like, mm-hmm, let them use it because you're not using it and you're wasting space and you're wasting resources and it's obnoxious.
I was just say like to a certain extent, like the fact that groups are targeted in certain ways, that's the unfortunate benefit of being privileged. It's like, unfortunately you benefit from other people being targeted and oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the part of the privilege that we're trying to get rid of. And my question to both of you, what happens when a person of privilege is trying to fight against oppression, but then, you know, they kind of are like struggling with like, am I doing this to like be good at fighting oppression? Or, like, is it just another thing that I want to be the best at? How do you like, and what can we like?
Well, I think it depends. Like, sometimes people feel like I do this with this show, and I think that's totally like valid. Like, am I just doing this to put my name on it? Like, is it about me, or is it about the people who come on the show, or is it about spreading a larger message? Like, would I be comfortable producing the show and taking my name completely off of it? I think I would, but maybe I'm just saying that because my name's on it anyway.
It gets kind of meta in that sense.
Yeah, it does.
Well, actually, on that topic of taking your name away from it, I was I've been hosting an event, Andrew, and it's been like whenever I've posted about it, I always wrote hosted by Maria Tsuguria and Shoko, you know, and like then Shoko, my co-creator, left, and I felt then like, oh, okay, I can, she took away her name, which was like very important to her. She was like very like much like she wanted it to be about like her, you know, in a way, which is fine, you know, like as a performer, she's a performer, but I don't really care, and I just changed it to it be called Cult 23, so that my name's completely off of it. Nobody knows even that I'm like the, I'll post sometimes on the event page, but nobody knows specifically that I'm the like cult leader.
Okay, so that's cool. something that I want to talk about, actually. So I want to say that, like, I hope like, you don't take this as an insult when I say this.
I love it. So
I've lived on communes, and you know, there's been a lot of effort in the communities movement to remove ourselves from this concept, mm-hmm, of a cult.
Yeah.
And I actually don't believe in singular leaders, so that's the whole other thing. But like, I just like, cults are like associated with like, yeah, I almost called it Marilyn Manson. That's so funny. Like Charles Manson and like all that stuff. And like, so I just like, I want to figure out like what work is going to be. I don't really have a problem with the word cult being used, honestly, but like, because I know that's not what you mean. I know that. I know you don't mean like that you're going to go out and fucking like kill, you know, kill people. Like that's not what you mean.
Well, I think like in throughout history, actually, there's been groups and they call them cults, but like it's like been a group just around like any religious kind of idea or belief or it's actually about a pagan religion in a way too, about worshiping other gods, not our God, the one that like everybody's just like pushing down our throats and saying that Christianity is the one thing that's true and Jesus, and it's about like finding other gods, and that's what for me cult really is about.
Okay, so finding like alternate spirituality. Yeah. You're saying. I'm also like, I actually think Christianity is a cult. Like, I think Christianity is more of like in the negative sense, like what a cult is, than anybody cares to admit. Like a lot of people do, but you know, it's this like following this one dude that nobody even interprets correctly, honestly, because they're just like, oh, fucking, like we have to do all these fucking like ridiculous things, but and then they want to like pick.
And that's why it's like I almost want to make fun of it. Like my whole point in creating anything is always to have a conversation about it. And the more like weird, and like you'll see my performance tonight, maybe.
Where is it gonna be? Tell me about it.
It's gonna be a Bizarre Bar, and I have this like
Circus of Dreams, right?
The Circus of Dreams.
I was gonna be on.
Yeah,
that, but I have to.
And you're but I'm gonna be dressed up as like, I'm gonna kind of become like, at first like a very like sexy goddess, you know, kind of going in and strutting my ass, like, and then basically turning into it. You know, like just removal of everything that is the dormant of what a goddess is, and then like just like the like transformation into a star. I mean, it's going to involve tons of candy too, but it's also about like food and our consumption. And so it's about a Hindu goddess who basically gets she gets pissed off that people think that food is an illusion. Like we're always hungry. I always want more food. And basically this goddess is saying like, oh, you want more? You want more? You always want more? I'm going to remove everything. And you're going to starve to death. And that's, I think, what we're dealing with in this world now, is that we're not, you know, we're asking for too much sometimes. And the consumption and materialism and consumerism has just gone absolutely nuts.
I agree with you. And I think that's like a really interesting point to like, I feel like that's like kind of like happening in Bushwick. Like, yeah. Like with specifically what you were talking about. It's a very interesting like thing, because I feel like, I said this earlier in the episode, by the way, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Yeah. I feel like there's like Williamsburg, when it was like up and coming neighborhood, you know, when they were doing exactly what I was talking about, like favoring privileged communities over marginalized communities, it was selling this like image of like grunge. And now it's kind of like culminated and it's become this very bougie thing. And Bushwick, I feel like, is doing very much the same thing, but also like doing it almost like a witchy shaman vibe. And like, that's cool and whatever, but I feel like there's a lot of like selling of these cultures from people who are not from those cultures. And I said it earlier, like, I'm glad that like witches and people who actually like understand herbs and are healers are getting to make a living off of these ideas, because like, or off of their work, especially in the eyes of this, you know, healthcare thing. And there are some like herbs and things that are better for you than Western medicine, or can help you without really needing to have health insurance. So I'm glad about that. But I do feel like there's this element of just like selling it, and it becomes empty. What do you think of that, Andrew? You want to say stuff, because you're here, you're on the phone. We've been talking for a while, but then we gotta like ask a question to the tarot, because Maria brought her fucking tarot deck, and we gotta do it.
Well, I was actually just like putting out my tarot cards for the question that Andrew's gonna ask me.
Okay, Andrew, figure out
about Bushwick. I want to know like a question. Maybe you want to know about Bushwick in the future. I guess.
So tell us what the fuck you think about what we've been talking about, and then we're gonna do your tarot thing.
Okay. I love that you swear.
Oh yeah, you can say fuck as much as you want. Say whatever fuck. I'm a bitch. I'm an anarcho-commie cunt.
Fuck.
Reclaiming. You're reclaiming the language, right?
I mean, it's not even. I'm just talking, literally, it's just a vagina. Like, God. All right, anyway, Andrew, talk. Go.
Well, I was just thinking, on the topic of victim blaming earlier, you know, I feel like that's a big problem in our country, kind of with, like, the idea that if you're not working, if you're not, like stressed out, like, from work, that you're not doing a good enough job, sort of. And then with spirituality, sometimes I find that spirituality without social justice, like without fixing the concrete like challenges and accepting them, that spirituality can become a way to, I don't want to say victim blame, but almost it can become kind of like gaslighting in that, like telling people that thoughts are like the problem, and then if they just meditate more, like things will get solved for them.
Oh my God, I hate that.
I don't like meditating.
Like, no matter how much you pray, certain problems are not going to go away.
So yeah.
One without the other, like spirituality without social justice, can become kind of conflating.
Social justice. Wait, can you read the day? Spirituality without social justice. Oh my God.
Yeah, it can become like an avenue to like blame victims. In a sense. Or
yeah,
like
you just like saved my life right there. You didn't save the world, but you just saved my life right there. Like you like figured out for how I could describe why I have issues with a lot of burners and like Burning Man and shit. Like I love a lot of burners, but like that specific, I have a lot of friends who are burners who I like and stuff, but that's the problem I have with like the overarching message that I see. I don't know, but ask your question because I want to do this thing.
Okay, so I'm supposed to ask a question about Bushwick?
Yeah. I'm gonna reshuffle it up because I shuffled it for every time you have like kind of you want to do a reading, like you just like I have to meditate with the cards. Meditating. I have to meditate with the cards with your question. You know what I mean? So tell me again. What would you like to know?
Okay. Let's see. So Bushwick is like a quickly developing place that's like known.
Gentrifying.
Kind of
it's already developed.
And, like, to like being grungy and now that's kind of changing. I guess I don't know. I guess my question is like people like once people realize that they're like they've sort of been like pushing other people out. Like what can they do from that point on to like once they're already there and they kind of realize like they're a part of gentrification. Like,
so
where do they go from
this is
there?
Like my first time ever answering this complex of a question with tarot cards, so this should be interesting. It's usually like relationship questions, like or like work career stuff, and most people actually don't even know what to ask me. It's just like the lack of creativity, though, I have to say, is sometimes scary.
Should I simplify it a little?
Your question was incredible. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, I want to say so, but just on time. Let's do this. We can do this in about 10 minutes, and then we're going to take another caller who wants to discuss their views on magic.
Love it.
Okay.
Okay, and then I'll probably have to get back to work.
Yeah, so let's do this.
So the first card is denial, which is actually very appropriate. It has to do with basically like living asleep and while like there is like rattlesnakes all around you. It's like a picture of a woman in a canoe falling asleep, and she's basically getting taken to the underworld, and that could be like the sign of death too. And like the denial of our situation.
Yeah, do you mind if I talk while you're doing this or just say things? Or do you want to just read it and then we talk later?
How about and then you give me a break and then, you know, you can talk.
Okay.
Yeah. And then whatever you want to say about that.
Oh, wait, I don't know what you meant.
You don't want to say something, you can say something.
Oh, okay, I was confused. I didn't want to like interrupt your flow. So that's something that's interesting, underworld situation. Oh, yeah, I've talked to a lot of people in this neighborhood that like want to get mad at me when I want to discuss with them like our roles in gentrification and how like we raise the property taxes as being like white people in this neighborhood, and like they're like, I didn't do that, and they get really like mad at me. So they're like afraid, they're like almost like underneath like the reality, like
denial.
That's definitely interesting.
So that is the card that I pulled is for like the general outlook of how the situation is. This is the next card is the action that we need to take in order to have a final outcome. The action is cleansing. So it's about like really like kind of cleaning out the shit, making sure that everything is like, you know, pristine so that we can welcome new situations to happen. So we're opening ourselves up to a new type of way of living or a new community. And which brings me to the last card, which is the outlook as to what's going to happen. And it's the community card, which is very interesting.
Wow.
It is a group of people holding hands in a circle around fire, which is creativity. And it's an earth card.
Wow.
So it's us really being grounded and like realizing that like after we open up our new ways of living with each other, that we can be together and form a community. That heals each other and brings a sense of humanity again to the earth.
Yeah, we definitely need to bring a sense of humanity. And I feel like, that's awesome. That's actually really trippy because like I have a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to take a photo of this. This is like a very accurate reading. This is crazy.
Let's take a picture of it and we're going to show it to you all. We're going to show it to you all on What Would Save the World. I've been on my Twitter. Here, do you want to take it on this phone if you can? Okay, we're going to put it on Twitter on What Would Save the World. No, on what the fuck? That's not what my Twitter's called. All right, but if you look up the hashtag What Would Save the World, you'll find it. But 2K, like the symbol 2K, E-D-A-L-O-W, you can check out all the tweets and all the questions that I'm asking. And I've gotten some. So while we're here, let's read a couple of the answers to the questions. A question I got, so I said, why is our society so goddamn victim blaming? And somebody said, concepts of Deuteronomic ethics from Judeo-Christian standpoint reinforced by a lazy new age interpretation of karma from the counterculture. Basically, people are afraid of a world where bad things happen to good people and will drown themselves in ideology, cough, capitalism, cough, to avoid that possibility. That's a heavy load. And then, so what do you feel about the term cult? Somebody said, a good way for manipulative narcissists to play out their arrogant fantasies using other people to build themselves up. And that's my issue with the word. And I know that you don't mean that when you say that. So that's why it's like one of the things where I don't really like when you like invite me to do events at like Cult 23 and stuff, I'm not like going to my, or cult party, the place called Cult Party. I'm not like, fuck this, you know, because I know that's not what you mean. But a lot of people don't know that, do you know? And that's like a hard thing, especially like that's also ties into like when I say I'm a communist, like I absolutely am not saying, that's actually literally like the same problem. A lot of people have problems with cults because they're like singular leaders telling people what they can and can't do and controlling people, and that's the exact problem I have with the exact problem people have with authoritarian communists. I'm not an authoritarian communist. I'm a voluntary communist. So that's like something that actually like a lot of libertarians don't understand, right? That actually Adam Smith was kind of down for that kind of thing in a sense, yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. Now I'm just using buzzwords. Nobody knows the fuck I'm talking about. But I also just asked, yeah. Wait, did you understand what I was saying, Andrew?
Totally. I mean, I've taken a lot sort of from you just talking about the difference between voluntary and involuntary communism.
Oh, you've heard me say that before?
I've heard you say that before, and it sort of brought me to this conclusion that, you know, the fact that Stalin called what he had communism doesn't work for me, because Marx was saying that we shouldn't exploit workers, and Stalin went on and killed many people who were undoubtedly working class people.
Ugh. It's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So can we just say that Stalin wasn't a communist?
And that, I mean, we could, but essentially we can reclaim all these terms, but how do we fucking get people? So I gotta let you go in a minute because I got the other guy call in, but the other person. But I wanna say something. This topic of spirituality without social justice becomes victim blaming. And I just want to say that I think that the New Agey community in Bushwick, I'm just gonna straight up say this, does a terrible job with dealing with creepy men. Does a fucking shit job. And that's nobody in particular. That's just something I want to say. If anybody from Bushwick is listening to this, that's what I fucking think. I think you guys, and including myself, because I haven't said enough about it, I say a lot about it, and I think that it's alienated me from a lot of people. I think that we do not talk about consent enough. I think that we allow a lot of toxic men to flourish in a lot of communities and just be there, and no one seems to really care. It's okay because they're freely expressing themselves and there's not enough talk about it. Like, we gotta, if people really want to like make it fit with like this new agey, like whatever, what the fuck, what do we call it? Like new age branding, kind of like, if you gotta make consent fit in with whatever Eastern philosophy is being appropriated, fine, do it. Just fucking, I mean, I'm not advocating for that either, but I'm saying fucking like, please, people, if you're listening, get that shit together. I'm sorry, like that's something that really, really upsets me, and it's why I've avoided a lot. Actually, can we ask one more question? Actually, to the tarot, can I ask a question about this?
Yeah.
I want to ask about that.
And so, I also just want to say that, like, I definitely feel you, and like the more that I've tried to create my own event, the more that I feel like I can kind of like, in generally, I feel like I can like make sure that there's not that like level of it. That's my goal in the future, just to make it as comfortable for everybody. And I feel like I'm one of those people, like if somebody does something to a friend or like does something to me that's kind of gross, I automatically also just kind of like distance myself.
And it's also like hard to like blame people who like run events even sometimes, because it's like there's a lot of pressures from these communities, because even in these like very like spiritual open spaces, like a lot of like not male body, I don't like that word, like a lot of toxically masculine people dominate.
That's why it's very important that when we promote for events that we message individual people instead of it being a mass like event, and try to promote us communicating in a direct way with the type of audience that we want in the event. So messaging women, you know, messaging people that aren't creepy and directly saying, come to this event, even comping them, just making sure that it's filled with the type of people you want.
That's a really, I like that. I like that too. But I want to ask, this is the question I have for the tarot. And then we got to do this real quick though. Yeah. Why are the communities who claim to be very new agey and like spiritual and open have such a hard time with like consent culture? Why is that? Or have such a hard time have such a hard time specifically taking down toxic masculinity? That's a hard question. I know it's intense. We're laying out the cards while we're doing this. I'm gonna lay out the picture right now. I'm gonna give you the picture on the Twitter of the tarot deck. And you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. After this tarot reading, we're gonna take a call from someone very, very special. Or not very. I'm not gonna tell you who the fuck they are. What was the question we had for the first question? It was what is the future for gentrifying Bushwick?
Yeah, or what do you do once you realize that you are a gentrifier?
Okay, what do you do once you realize you are a gentrifier? Okay, Maria, take it from here.
Do you want me to do my reading? Or?
Yeah, I absolutely
okay,
want you to.
So it's interesting that I've actually pulled the same card as before, which is significant because I think that we're kind of dealing with the same question. How do we deal with the creepy, usually like privileged white dude in events that wants to grab people sometimes? Or like is trying to videotape. Usually, I don't know, but there's all
these
of
things.
People,
I've seen all these things. I know what you're talking
all
about.
A lot of people. Okay, and it's a cleansing card, so it's basically saying maybe in our communities we are trying to open ourselves up to like a new situation. We are starting fresh. We are opening ourselves to like a new beginning. So maybe this is, and then the next card, the action that we need to take is maybe a completion of like the past. Maybe these roles that we've developed are actually ending in a way, and we need to end them and start a new kind of like intention, which is the next card. It's the final outcome, and it's our intention of creating spaces that are safe for us. So it's a great series of cards as well. It's like we're cleaning ourselves and our communities to open ourselves to a new cleaner, like wiser way of being. Like we're intending things to be maybe a place for everybody to feel safe, you know.
All right, so that's fucking awesome, Andrew. I want to hang up on you because tell me if you got one more thing, because we got to take this other caller though, because we got 10 more minutes.
Okay, great. No, it's been great having me. I mean, it's been great being here. Thank you so much. And I look forward to being involved again.
I want to say thank you so much for being here. I want you to come on and talk more about the communities movement in Brooklyn and the farm and all this shit. All right. You're fucking awesome. Thank you so much.
Andrew, one question. Did you like my readings?
I really enjoyed your readings. Thank you so much.
It was great talking
to
you.
I'm going to be thinking of
it. You're amazing. Let's see if this hangs up on you. Andrew, you still there? Okay.
I'm still here. Thank you.
What the fuck?
Bye-bye.
How do I hang up on you?
No.
You hang up. Hang up. Bye.
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 All right. Let's see. Okay. All right. So the person who's waiting to call in. I want to see if it comes through. If it doesn't come through, I'm going to have to put you through some fucking thing. Are you calling? You calling? Okay. I'm going to put on a... Oh, there we go. Hello, friend.
Are you calling?
Hello.
I can hear the radio in the background there.
I just paused it. Don't worry about it.
All right. So what do you got to say?
What I have to say about all this cult, this tarot, this magic, and utterly this bullshit.
Oh, my God. You're so angry.
In Bushwick. Now, I just want to start off really quick and tell you, to each his own, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. You can do your practice. You can do your thing. But what is it these days? Oh, let's make a live art show and involve magic in it where people don't know what the fuck is going on and have to stand there for 10 minutes while I crawl from one spot of the floor to the other side of the fucking floor and call a magic ritual.
I've been to that event, and I actually agree with you. That was a bullshit event. I don't know which one you're talking about, but I didn't like it.
There was like three of them. There was like, what are you talking about, one event? No, there's like hundreds, and it's all being recycled at this point.
Right.
And, well, let me tell you. Magic in itself is something sacred, okay? It doesn't involve a deck of cards. And here, I'm going to pull out a card that has a picture of a dick. Hey, I'm a magician. No.
Look at my picture! Look at my card!
Now, when it comes to people, like, you have different kinds of practices of Wicca. You have shamanism, things from times of Aztec. These are all part of heritage and culture that go back way before your great-great-great-grandmother is born. And when you take something that's sacred and you make it into, oh, art, because I want to be an artist in Bushwick and have a high level in society and wear all this bullshit tattoos on my face, because it's all for the sake of trend. It is all becoming trend and bullshit, where people just openly talk about, I got this card this morning in the Mercury retrograde, while at the same time a butterfly landed on me. It's amazing. My powers are getting so strong. Shut the fuck up. No, they're not. You are simply believing in the world around you. Enjoy yourself, yeah, but you're not a fucking shaman. A shaman is someone who lives out in the forest and is completely a hermit amongst the land with nothing but Mother Earth and all of these beautiful creatures with it. You're living in fucking Bushwick where you pay for a cappuccino at $10. Don't fuck with me.
$10. Oh, my God. But okay, so I got a couple gripes with what you're saying. Maria.
I love this perspective. It reminds me of one of my exes. She used to be a carpenter, and she was very angry about everything.
Why was she angry? About everything.
I don't know, but it just makes me feel like you're a New Yorker who's a little bit disenchanted by the world.
I'm a New Yorker who's disenchanted by the world, but I feel like I used to be very much like that. Like, I used to think these synchronicities in my dreams brought me this, and in some ways it was true, but it's also one of those things. Like, I used to like be out in the desert and think that like a giant baby was trying to take me away to another dimension and all this shit. And like, definitely in my, but actually I will say I've had some experiences where it's like, holy shit, like that's gotta be magic, where like I'm in an abusive relationship and I'm like really, really stoned and I hear my voice as a child in my head going, Maddie, if you want to know, that's not my real, Maddie, why are you doing this to yourself? You have to stop, Maddie, stop. And I'm like, shut up. And I stay in the relationship for another couple of years. But like, what do you think of that? Like, that person on the phone, like, that's got to be some kind of magic.
Now, I'm not speaking for everyone saying that everyone is in the wrong and everyone is just making something up. No, real experiences happen. So don't think I'm talking for everyone. No, I mean, I have my practices too. Do I discuss it with everyone and try to make it a big deal? No. If it's something traumatic, like what you explained, and something is happening where you have to share with someone because, like, yeah, you're going through something, that's absolutely fine. But for, 99.9% of the time, people are just full of shit. You have something that's more meaningful and actually is true. People will have these true experiences. It's still out there. Yar. But at the time, you can tell when someone is lying or the way they're speaking about it while they hold their precious jewelry and those precious stones and just make it into something that is an image. You're not making an image. People don't have to make an image. People have an image for a specific reason, for a motivation, for what they're portraying. But just simply having the image for the sake of it, so it creates something that attracts everyone, rather than being on your own and doing something independently, that's some other shit.
So the issue I have with, so I hear what you're saying there. Like, there's definitely like this, it's definitely like an image thing. There's definitely like a culture, like, I want to look like this, I want to look like this thing. But what do you were saying, like, a shaman is someone who stays out in the woods with Mother Nature and they're a hermit. All right, fine. But what about like these very important knowledges that people who do things like that gain, like about like herbalism or like you, if you said you were listening. So like what I said before about these people being able to spread these ideas and be healers. Like, what do you think about that? Do you think any of that, like, what do you think about people like in Bushwick who do that? Do you think there are any real healers here?
Oh, absolutely. I'm one of them. But I'm no shaman. You can practice the ways and you can learn the ways, yar. But you're no true shaman until you're reaching at your peak where you're just breaking your limits. That's a master, and that takes decades to master. It can take a little less time for someone in particular, but for someone who reads a goddamn book once and automatically labels themselves something special or shaman, no, it doesn't work that way. There are different stages to that. So for everyone out there who is currently actually practicing, actually reading and researching, by all means, keep fucking going and keep being true. That way one day you are going to be an actual shaman, an actual healer,
and even
not someone who half-assed knows something.
And even if you're not like a shaman or reach this like fucking high level, da-da-da-da, like, do you really need to? Like, is it worth it for the title, or is it worth it for the knowledge itself?
it's worth it for the knowledge itself. The title comes with knowledge, but people will have the title without the knowledge. That's my gripe.
Yeah, what do you think about the title of witch? Because shaman is one thing. What do you think about witch? Like, a lot of people call themselves witches. And also, Maria, feel free to just chime in whatever you want. I don't want you to feel like you have to need my permission to chime in.
Well, I spoke for everything when I was saying shaman. I'm not saying shaman alone has this and that or witch. Regardless of whatever status is being portrayed, everything I said counts for everything else as well. Whether you're working to be a witch under what, Wicca, then you do your practices. It doesn't matter how or when, but are you trying to be famous off of that? It's really a question about, are you trying to create like, hey, an event tonight with this witch doing this and she's just going to say a bunch of crap? Or are you going to have someone who's broken inside, has broken hands, and you actually proctor them through a whole life? It's like another version of therapy. It doesn't, regardless of what status it is, whether it's a shaman or witch or anything, it still regards the same thing, which is knowledge creating who you are, rather than just giving yourself a title and giving yourself a name and giving yourself a label just so you can feel special.
Yeah, I hear that. We have only a couple minutes left. But I do want to say something about like the term witch. It's something like where it makes me think of like a wise woman, or it could be a guy too. It could be any kind of person. But I think of it as like someone who looks at what's already in the world and tries to create new with it, or tries to, like, for example, like someone who like composts, or someone who does something like that. I think of that as like magic, even though it's like a very clear and cut and dry science thing.
Well, sure. There are all kinds of forms. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to cut a piece of hair off and throw it in the fire in some kind of barren desert. No, there's different levels of that too, but it still doesn't mean that, okay, I did this one thing, now I'm this, and that. No, and where's the, if you're really so wise, and if what you're saying, the definition is being a wise person, wouldn't it be the wise person who is quiet and tame and is teaching rather than trying to go for fame?
Mm-hmm. I hear that. So we got a couple minutes left. Maria, do you got anything to say before we close off?
I think that you had some really good points, and I do believe that it's all about like the practice, and it's about like your life, like kind of just like flowing to be those things. That's why sometimes like anything I say, including, you know, labeling myself as anything, has a faux to it, like faux goddess, faux witch. You know what I mean? Faux cult. Like, because all of that is really also like my own, like, my own identity, you know, I'm identifying myself, but what does that mean either? You know what I mean? But I think there is also something important about identifying as something, because without that, how would we exist without definition, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we even need definition. I'm actually very much looking forward to a world where I look at people on the street and I have no clue what gender they are, or what their sexuality is, or their genitals, or anything like that, because I really don't give a fuck, and I'm so excited for it to not matter.
But then there's going to be other things that do matter, like what they're into. Like, yeah, if you're into occult things, like, that helps me tie myself to other people that are into herbalism and essential oils and whatever, all these other very...
We literally have a couple seconds.
My last question.
Real quick, we have like seconds. We have like seconds. Sure. We got to close off. Okay.
What you're saying is absolutely true, but how do you know when it's legit and when it's authentic and when it's